And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
Last night on the pitch, it was business as usual for Napoli and Victor Osimhen.
Through to Osimhen! And was it ever in doubt?
But after a heated substitution, TikTok videos, threats of legal action and more, perhaps there are now question marks over the future of one of the most coveted strikers in world football. So what does the future hold for Osimhen's time in Naples, and who, if anyone, could prize him away? I'm Ayo Akinwolere. Welcome to the Athletic Football Podcast. In for this one, we have The Athletic's Italian football writer James Horncastle, as well as Carl Anker. James, I have invested interest in this story, not just because I am a Super League fan and a Nigerian, but just because Victor Osimhen is an insane striker. He lit up Serie A last season, Napoli finally lifting the Scudetto for the first time in 30-odd years, and he was integral to that. Yet, there's a disconnect between whoever's running their social media and the player himself. So let's just break this down, this TikTok debacle. I'm sure so many football fans have seen this being floating around in the news and across social media platforms. What has happened with Victor Osimhen and Napoli's TikTok?
So I've never seen anything like this, Ayo, because what happened on Tuesday evening was all of a sudden Osimhen's agent, Roberto Calenda, puts out this statement on X, and he says that his client has been mocked by the club's official TikTok platform. Now, I'm not on TikTok. I don't follow Napoli, so I was completely unaware of this. But on the same day, a video had appeared replaying this penalty miss that Osimhen had missed on Sunday in a 0-0 draw in Bologna. And there was this voiceover on the replay, which was, I don't know what it was. It's like a squeaky child. It really kind of belittles and mocks Osimhen. I've never seen a club put out a social media post on any platform which belittles one of its own. People then start looking further back on this TikTok, and they see that a few days earlier, Napoli had put out a post which said, "I'm not a boy, I'm not a woman, I'm a coconut," with Osimhen on there. Now, apparently, this is a meme which people have been adapting on that platform to various different things. But for the social media manager not to see the quite evident racial overtones of that post was startling, I would say. And so there's been a lot of fallout from that. I've never seen an agent of a player threaten legal action against his own club whilst he's playing for the club, even though this is sort of becoming fashionable in Italy after we saw Juventus's captain Leonardo Bonucci threaten to take legal action against Juventus only a few weeks ago. But to find yourself in this situation as a club, at quite a delicate time as well, because Napoli have had a rocky start to the season. So that's one thing. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of scrutiny around the new coach, Rudy Garcia, who's got big boots to fill after Luciano Spalletti left. And then you've got Osimhen himself. Like Osimhen, you know, we had a conversation a few weeks ago, Ayo, about who should be the face of the league, the star of this league. And in many respects, it should be Victor Osimhen. Because he's the top scorer, he's the most prolific African player ever to play in the league. He scored more goals than George Weah, Samuel Eto'o, players like that. He's on the Ballon d'Or shortlist. So he deserves respect. And also, he's in contract negotiations with the club at this moment in time. And the club over the summer were kind of confident about re-signing him for another 2 years. So his current deal expires in 2025. And the owner of Napoli came out, Aurelio De Laurentiis, and said, look, we have an agreement in principle for another 2 years until 2027. And it looked like they were going to actually put pen to paper at the end of the transfer window. That didn't happen. And now these two parties look even further away than they've ever been. And the actions of a social media manager could very much compromise Napoli's hopes of retaining one of the best strikers in the world at the moment.
Carl, the other piece to this incredible soap opera, and it's fair to say Osimhen might be pissed off, is that all traces of Napoli on Osimhen's social media have disappeared. Like he doesn't even play for them.
It is remarkable. It's a remarkable show of hubris, arrogance, racial insensitivity, however you want to call it. I cannot understand why people in front-facing jobs at Napoli would think it's acceptable to make their star player a figure of fun. And that's just the penalty one. And then this also says a lot about all of us not being on TikTok because we're all slightly graying now.
Yeah, it's a bit too young for me, man, but yeah.
The coconut post, which I saw on Tuesday evening, I watched that mouth agog. I just, what on earth are you doing? What on earth are you trying to achieve here? And this really feels unfortunate because, you know, this Napoli side and the story of the Napoli side from last season was one that brought in a lot of neutrals, that got a lot of people on board, not just in Italy, but also around Europe. I was one of many people watching the Champions League games against AC Milan going, oh no, this is on. Like you absolutely should be pushing for the Champions League final here.
And Osimhen missed the first leg. You know, if he plays, do they have a chance of not just reaching the semi-final, but maybe even going to the final?
We knew this would not be the same Napoli team as last season. But to play your hand so badly with your leading goal scorer is remarkable.
I mean, do we have a sense of how Napoli deal with their social media? I mean, is it some sort of 24-year-old kid or 22-year-old kid just literally putting something out because they thought it's trending on TikTok? I mean, you'd think a club now, Napoli's profile's always been quite interesting in general, but after their league success last season, after the Champions League journey last season, all eyes are on Napoli. Something like that going out needs to be scrutinised.
Absolutely. And I think it took them winning the league for them to update their website, because the website's looked out of date for a long time. And I think whilst they've started to invest in these areas, in social media, they are behind the other clubs, be it Juventus, be it Milan, be it Inter, be it Roma as well. You know, there was a time when Napoli would publish statements on their website and they'd do a translation which looked straight out of early Google Translate. It did not make a lot of sense. And so, you know, to Carl's point about this being a front-facing role, I don't think it is. And that's probably an underestimation of social media's importance in this day and age. But I get the impression this is one person or a small group of people who only get talked about or feel valued in the company. I say valued in the company when they do something wrong. You know, if they do something right, they don't get praised for it. And you're chasing engagement, you're chasing followers in a more and more extreme way, literally extreme in this case. And you take risks, and this is a risk that has not come off. In fact, you would say that probably Napoli have driven more social media engagement in the last few days than they were anticipating for all the wrong reasons. But hopefully this will lead to more oversight because it is a gaffe which, you know, might not just cost someone a job, but cost the club a lot of money if Osimhen does not sign a new contract. If Osimhen, for example, you know, goes into next summer with 1 year left, you know, that's very different proposition to being re-signed, and then you can go back into the market and anyone, be it Saudi Arabia, be it PSG after Kylian Mbappe maybe leaves, be it Real Madrid if Mbappe ends up staying. Yeah, all of a sudden those guys are going to be able to get Victor Osimhen cheaper than they would have been able to before. So there are repercussions in a culture within a club, in all aspects, in every department. Make sure that people are sensitive to these things. Make sure they get the right diversity inclusion training so that they know how this looks and the offense it causes. And then, of course, as I said, you know, I imagine the sporting department at Napoli is not best pleased right now. And I thought Rudy Garcia, I mean, one final point, said something quite interesting after the game. He said, look, I've been coaching for 30 years. And, you know, when I started out, I thought my job was 80% on the training ground, you know, in terms of here are the schemes we're going to run. This is what we're going to do on set pieces. I'm going to improve this player. He needs work. And it was 20% of everything else around the football club, you know, sort of dealing with players' agents, getting contracts signed, dealing with recruitment, dealing with the ultras, dealing with, you know, managing up the executives. And now it's completely turned around. And now it's 20% is what I get to do on the training ground and work on the team. And 80% is managing what maybe the social media managers put out without anyone knowing and all of the repercussions it's caused. This is the absurd, preposterous world and industry in which we work.
Hi, I'm Ian Irving, host of Talk of the Devils, the Athletics podcast dedicated to Manchester United. Twice a week, I'm joined by Andy Mitten, Carl Anker and Laurie Whitwell as we bring you the very best insight from inside Old Trafford. You'll get all you need to know on transfers, tactical analysis, dare I say takeovers, and much, much more as we follow United home and away. You're not getting this anywhere else. So search for Talk of the Devils and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
You're listening to the Athletic Football Podcast with Ayo Akinwolere.
I'm not just saying this just because it's two black guys sitting opposite each other, Carl. But like, this does scream a little bit of the insensitivity around these conversations in Serie A. I mean, it was only 2019, those three monkey posters were put out as part of an anti-racism campaign.
The chief executive of Serie A is still the chief executive of Serie A who oversaw that initiative as well. So
that was an astounding campaign in that your anti-racist campaign and your anti-racism campaign was in itself racist. And watching that coconut video, and you know, for those who are listening to this going, I don't quite understand the issue. Coconut is a insult towards a black person. It is the idea that you are black on the outside but white on the inside. It's the insult that while you are black, you behave in a certain way in order to curry favor with your white peers. It is an insult up there with calling someone a raccoon or calling someone an Uncle Tom. These are, it's one of the worst things you can call another black person. And it's a really big attack on their character. So for Napoli to not be aware of that and then to put that out, and okay, perhaps there is a TikTok trend saying I'm not a boy, I'm not a woman, I'm a this. And I've heard someone try and come to their defense saying the coconut references in reference to Oshin's hair and how it's slightly furry, like the top of a coconut, which I'm not.
I don't see it
buying that. This is Victor Osimhen again. He's the highest scoring African player in Serie A. He is very proudly African, and he's talked about how happy he is to be playing for the Super Eagles. And it's not even a question that he's going to be at the African Cup of Nations in January. So this is a deep insult towards a person's character, and he hasn't addressed this TikTok in particular, but more the penalty one. But I'm sure he's quite angry at this statement. And I'm sure it's also put a number of other African players on alert as to, has Napoli got their act together? If you're a young player now and you're going, oh, I could play in the Bundesliga, I could play in Spain, or I could join Osimhen and everyone else at Naples, you're looking at that going, wait a minute, I can score however many goals in Serie A and you're still going to make me your punching bag. Why on earth would I come near you? So it's this is the thing Garcia says. A lot of football now is, unfortunately, because there's so many games and there's so little time between games and there's so much money on the line, you do have to make sure everyone's fed, watered, sleeping well, and isn't being racially insulted by your own fan base or anyone else.
I guess when we talk about running a modern football club, James, these are all the elements that fit into that jigsaw puzzle. Like, there are only so much more evident when you haven't got your act together, when something like this, which is out of football matters, hits the ground, but it's been dealt with by people that only really think about football.
Yeah, or only think about the community that they're from as well. And, you know, I think Napoli strike me, and forgive me, Napoli, if I'm wrong, it's quite a provincial club, you know, in that, you know, this is a club, for example, that has a huge fan base or potential huge fan base in the US with Italian Americans, Neapolitans who moved over to the States to start a new life. And yet the club continues to have pre-season training in Castel di Sangro in Abruzzo. Doesn't go on tour in the US. Doesn't try and tap into that fan base. Carl just said about Osimhen's pride at being Nigerian, African, super eagle. Africa is a massive potential fan base. You know, you've all been drawn into as casual fans, Napoli. Lots of people from lots of different communities have, because of the style of football, because of the story last year, and because of this player, and just how exciting it is to watch. And yet, it doesn't appear that they've tried to make anything of that. And Ayo, you brought up his Instagram. The fact that he removed all of his photos that associated him with Napoli beyond, for example, him wearing a number 10 Maradona Argentina shirt. And I think what's quite interesting about this is that Napoli and De Laurentiis in particular, the owner, are famous for, in the contracts that they make players sign, they have these very detailed image rights clauses that they put in. And I remember there was a player who recently left Napoli called Fawzi Ghoulam, used to play for Algeria. Cracking player whose career unfortunately suffered after a couple of bad knee injuries. Ghoulam was talking about these image rights and how they extend even to rights like on the moon. You know, so if someone sets up a business on the moon and puts Fawzi Ghoulam on it, you know, Napoli are entitled to something from it. Okay. So it's very powerful, I think, of Victor Osimhen to take those photos down of him in Napoli, and very aware of how much the club leans on him in terms of branding, in terms of driving their profile on top of his. And so, you know, something that can seem quite trivial, I think, is actually very calculated and very powerful. You can talk about what moves could he have made. I mean, I think that's a very simple, straightforward, but clever one that he made. So yeah, Napoli have to broaden their horizons, I think, on this, and have to learn from this, not just in terms of how they manage their social media, but how they think of where Napoli as a football club sits, not just in its own community, but in the world.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Osimhen and how valuable he is to Napoli. A couple of stats: 26 goals in Serie A from 32 games, 5 assists, 62 goals in 107 games in all competitions since joining from Lille in 2020 for, what, €70 million. I mean, he's a baller in simple terms. He is a baller, and we've seen him grow in stature as a striker. Carl, we had a chat about this, actually. David Ornstein had a little something to say about teams that were sniffing around him. Let's listen to this. I want to come back to you on what David had to say.
There was a small pool that clubs were looking at, the likes of Man United, Chelsea. They included Gonçalo Ramos, who has now gone to PSG, so that's one gone. Hoyland was within that. He's gone. Kane was within it. He's gone. And so Osimhen is one that's going to be of interest to the market.
United were muted at one point. Manchester United, I should also say, were muted at one point. But I know you did a piece on Tifo, which I actually watched. 9 minutes of delight, Carl. Thank you very much for that. On just how brilliant a striker he is, his playing style, how much defenders don't like to mark him. I mean, you know, and you've seen just how effective Victor Osimhen is as a striker.
Very much so. And going into that summer window, the one that's just passed, for Manchester United fans, it looked to be a case of, is it going to be Harry Kane or Victor Osimhen? And in true Manchester United Glazer-like style, you end up with neither because you can't afford either man. But Harry Kane was being quoted with numbers north of 100 million, and Victor was being quoted with numbers north of 100 million. And then you had the, it's De Laurentiis, maybe 120 million. I think there was two or three times where someone said, Manchester United are worried about negotiating with Kane because Daniel Levy's the chairman, and they're worried about Victor Osimhen because they've got De Laurentiis, who is the Daniel Levy of Italy, which is not quite a one-to-one comparison. De Laurentiis is, I think, a little bit more eccentric. Is that correct, James?
Yeah, in that he's more visible and we have more of an insight into his character. I mean, De Laurentiis is a movie mogul.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I remember very vividly when Napoli sort of returned back to the Champions League, he told the story of how he bought the club. And he prefaced it all with, I was coming back from a movie premiere with Angelina Jolie, Jude Law, and just sort of named the cast. And I went, he really wants the name drop here. He name drops.
The only big Hollywood film he's been involved in. The rest are all just terrible Italian comedies. Sorry, I'm not your target audience.
So yes, he's known for extravagant flourishes in front of camera, and also being pretty hard to negotiate when he wants to be, as we've seen with what's been said with Victor. And I think he is a striker of supreme talent. Something that came across several times last season is just how he can occupy two centre-backs. He stands on the last line of defence, and two centre-backs don't really know what to do with him. You can't really get touch tight with him because he's physically dominant in a way that defenders don't really like. He's quicker than most, if not all, centre-backs in Serie A at the moment as well. And he's aerially dominant in a way that towards the end of last season especially, and you saw this in the Champions League game against Eintracht Frankfurt, defenders stopped leaping and trying to compete because they're going, I cannot out-jump this man, so I'll just stand there and let him get ridiculous height on things. He's still not quite the perfect striker, I don't think. Yeah, I think there's maybe two or three parts of his game in terms of build-up he might want to build upon. But if you are a PSG, a Real Madrid, a Manchester United with better structure and more money, or even indeed a Bayern Munich before they went for Harry Kane, he is the sort of striker that all of these top clubs that want to get past the Champions League quarterfinals and win the Champions League will be looking to buy in the next two or three years.
Yeah, you also said he has a knack of sort of throwing himself at stuff, might even hurt himself in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has been the problem with Osimhen, his perceived brittleness, because last year, I mean, he missed a chunk of games. In the first Champions League match against Liverpool, where everyone, not just people who watched Serie A, stood up and took notice of Napoli, he went off in that game. And he still wears a mask, even though his cheekbone is healed from being elbowed by Milan Skriniar in a game against Inter. But certainly the first couple of years, the problem was getting him on the pitch. And last year, I mean, since he was able to do that and play more than sort of 2,000 minutes, you got to see, also under a manager, Luciano Spalletti, who's had three different players be top scorer in Serie A, in Totti, Dzeko, Icardi, someone who knows how to get the best out of strikers. You really saw everything. And what Carl says is absolutely right. I mean, there are no lost causes with Victor Osimhen because of his stretchability, which isn't even a word, but he's got these go-go gadget legs, which are...
That's exactly a term I used as well. He's got a ridiculous way of extending his legs, and he just has a, you say the eye for goal or a sniff of goal. He just has a way of turning a lost cause or something that should only be a half chance into a shot on target. This means if he's fit enough, he's always going to be worth 15 league goals a season. This also means he's going to get injured a lot. He's going to get a lot of elbows. He's going to get stamped on. He does a lot of last gasp stretches across goal to get to the end of these crosses that, you're going at the right angle. Great. If you're not, you might have pinged your hamstring. He's a superstar who doesn't play like a superstar yet. And that is very, very enticing for a lot of managers, saying you're still malleable, you're still adaptable. I can still ask you to press off the ball and you're not going to go, I don't want to press anymore. I've scored this many goals. Osimhen is fantastic in that he has a goal scoring threat that is not too far off Kylian Mbappe, but also he's willing to do the things from the number nine position that Mbappe has openly said he doesn't really enjoy doing.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You're listening to The Athletic Football Podcast with Ayo Akinwole.
I'm just thinking about what we spoke about in terms of the stars of Serie A. Leao's not quite made it yet. Osimhen's just on the cusp of it, if you think about it. James, this should be also a Serie A conversation. The league, you need people to watch the league. Yep. So therefore, you need really incredible, amazing people to light up the league. So, you know, marketing, global rights, all those wonderful things come into play.
Yeah, you need to celebrate these guys. You need to make the most of them on the platforms that you have. Yeah, Serie A has made more strides in that direction over the last couple of years, and they need to because they're going into this TV rights tender at the moment, not just domestically, but more importantly, internationally, where they've really fallen behind, not just the Premier League, where the Premier League is just a super league, it's out there on its own, but just getting parity with La Liga or the Bundesliga. And, you know, these things are off-putting, these TikTok videos and other incidents like this. Particularly when you want to go and sell yourself in the States and around the world. I mentioned the States because that's where there's so much value for these TV rights. But I mean, look, the league, there are still too many racist incidents. Serie A isn't alone in this. You know, we've seen the kind of treatment that Vinicius Jr. gets in Spain. But I've been quite encouraged by, for example, let's say, the actions of Juventus. So, for example, Mike Maignan, the Milan goalkeeper, was racially abused when he went to play at the Allianz Stadium last year. Lukaku was as well. And because the Juventus Stadium is the most modern stadium in the country, they've got state-of-the-art cameras. They can identify the perpetrators of these racist chants. They can obviously then go back and cross-check the tickets, the names on the tickets, and then they can basically put a list together of the names, hand the names over to the police to pursue and prosecute, and then issue banning orders. And they've done that consistently. I think Juventus have been very good on it. Yeah, there are another few clubs like AC Milan and Roma who've taken a very strong stance on this going back 4 or 5 years. The league as well has taken on Roc Nation to help on this issue. You know, Roc Nation, who were very strong in coming out in support of Romelu Lukaku and trying to influence some kind of change, you know, taking out full page ads in Gazzetta dello Sport, the other sports papers, saying enough is enough. So I think the league is doing more than it was. It's taking this issue more seriously than it was, rather than just turning the other cheek or, as we referenced earlier, putting these ill-thought-out, insensitive initiatives as an anti-racism thing. I mean, I'm still, you know, Carl talked about his jaw-dropping with the Osman coconut TikTok. I mean, honestly, I still can't believe that, you know, commissioning artwork of monkeys for an anti-racism message was perceived as a good idea and signed off on. Madness.
Okay. Well, I want to sort of finish on this and round it off because we touched on him earlier, but another enigmatic character is the president, Aurelio De Laurentiis. And Carl, you spoke about him being like the Daniel Levy, but slightly trickier or a bit different. James, just give us an insight because also a man who's been under investigation as well. So, you know, the soap opera continues.
Yeah, so, I mean, Tuesday was already kind of a big news day in Naples, you know, because it came to light that De Laurentiis was being placed under investigation by magistrates in Rome that were looking into Napoli's financial affairs and specifically around the transfer of Victor Osimhen from Lille to Napoli in 2020 when there was a 50 million fee paid, but there was another 21 million attributed to the value of four players who were sent in exchange. Three of those players were unknowns from Napoli's kind of academy, and one was a kind of Greek goalkeeper on his way to retirement. And I think the Greek goalkeeper may have played for Lille's second team, but the other three never played for the club and found themselves back playing in the lower leagues in Italy fairly soon afterwards. So that transfer attracted a lot of scrutiny. These things called plusvalenze, which is capital gains. You know, we spoke about Juventus.io a few weeks ago. That was at the heart of the Prisma investigation into Juventus, you know, the values attributed to player transfers. And so it's been a big subject in Italy over the last couple of years. Now, I mean, in the Osimhen case, Napoli were cleared by the Italian Football Federation. Yeah, magistrates in Naples had their own investigation, and part of that has been shelved as well, because, you know, often these cases fall down on the fact then that the valuation of a player is subjective. It's often in the eye of the beholder. There is no metric which will tell you how much this player is worth at a various stage of his contract life cycle. It depends on too many intangibles, too many variables. And so, yeah, there's some serenity, is how they say, in Naples that this will come to nothing. Let's see about that. One last thing is the club has very little debt. And has always operated well in the transfer market, has nearly always got into the Champions League.
Is he easy to deal with?
And that means he's hard to deal with because he doesn't need your money. You know, even last summer, for example, which was seen as a real moment of transition for the club when Kalidou Koulibaly, an icon in Naples, was moved on to Chelsea in his early 30s. People thought Koulibaly would have left 3, 4, 5 years ago. But because of the price tag that De Laurentiis put on him, he was too expensive for clubs in the Premier League. And De Laurentiis could afford to keep him. And Koulibaly wanted to stay because he was, you know, worshipped in Naples. Same with Dries Mertens and Lorenzo Insigne, left at the end of their contracts. You know, because again, you know, when they'd had offers to leave, let's say Mertens to Chelsea, Napoli were in a position to say, we don't need your money. So that's why I'm curious. That's one of the reasons why I'm curious about Osimhen. Yeah, not going to January, but even going to next summer. It's like, even with this now added context that comes from this flare up over these TikTok videos, it won't make, I don't think, De Laurentiis any easier to deal with. Osimhen will still be very expensive in the summer.
Reassuringly expensive, I believe. I'm still not convinced that him and Garcia are going to figure it out, but I certainly think Napoli will be there or thereabouts in what's sure to be a thrilling title race for Serie A this season.
Gents, thanks so much for your time, James, Carl, and that breakdown, especially on De Laurentiis. We didn't even get to the fact that Victor Osimhen scored last night in that brilliant takedown of Udinese by Napoli. And after what we've just said about their president, that might add a few more zeros to his price tag. Anyway, don't forget, you can sign up to The Athletic today for a special limited time offer for just £1 a month for 12 months at theathletic.com/footballpod, where you can read from these two as well. Thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to The Athletic Football Podcast. The producers were Adonis Pratsides and Guy Clark, with additional production by Mike Stavro and Jay Beale. The executive producer was A.D. Moorhead. To listen to other great Athletic football podcasts for free, search for The Athletic on Apple, Spotify and all the usual places, and head to theathletic.com/footballpod for the very latest subscription offers. The Athletic Football Podcast is an Athletic Media Company production.
The Athletic.